Good morning. Thank you so much for coming back. Happy Mother's Day to all you great moms out there. And you know what? I realize that a lot of folks have lost their mom, or their moms have made their transition in the last few months or the last few years, and that Mother's Day is not always a happy time for everybody. Kathleen Frazier joins us this morning. She's author of Mourning and Milestones, and she's here to talk about, you know, bereavement. What do we do? How do we prepare? How do we talk to people? Because I think that's a big thing, Kathleen. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
I think that's a big thing, in that sometimes you don't know what to say to people.
I think that is one of the hardest things. We all really want to help when someone loses a loved one, and mm-hmm. we don't know what they want or how to help them or what to say. So part of what I wrote about, and part of what I was trying to cope with as a mourner myself, was how do I tell people what I need?
Yeah.
And sometimes I couldn't do that. Sometimes I would be in a puddle if I even tried.
Mm.
No question.
Yes.
But I did find that with holidays or special occasions or Mother's Day, birthdays, you kind of know ahead that it's going to be an awful day.
Mm.
So that gives you a little chance to think about what do you actually need.
Wow.
And then to think about who can maybe help me with what I need. And then you can think about how to let them know what you need.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have a dear friend who lost her mother recently. And, you know, she'll just call me and just cry. And 'cause she knows that I'm okay with that. I'm comfortable mm-hmm. with that. I'm not going to say anything until she wants me to say anything. I'm just going to let her cry. And that's how, you know, she kind of deals with her pain, especially initially when her mom passed. And so now she's gotten better. Sometimes she'll call now and we'll talk a little bit and then she'll cry. But it's been about 6 months. And I know for the first month, she just bawled her eyes out every time. And I was okay with that. I was okay with that because that's how she dealt with her pain. So talk about dealing with the pain of losing a loved one. And here we are at Mother's Day and everybody's happy and eating dinner and having folks over and all that good stuff. And your mom's gone, you know?
Well, that can really rub it in.
Mm.
You do have that feeling that the world should stop.
Yeah.
But of course the world doesn't. It just goes on. So, my experiences with loss are, the most recent ones were, I had two husbands who passed away, quite a few years apart. I don't mean it's recent, but I didn't really know how to grieve, especially the first time. I didn't know what you were supposed to do. I just was kind of in a sea of overwhelming emotion, and I didn't know how you find your way through that.
Yeah.
And particularly on these special days. So I kind of stumbled around trying to figure out how to help my kids. And when my first husband died, they were 8 and 11. So, you know, you have to help them when a parent's gone. But I didn't know what to do. And so I kind of was looking for the book that I wrote. That's why I wrote it, was just to find something that would help us kind of in a practical way with things that you might be able to do.
Yeah.
I don't think I just answered your question, though.
How do we help our friends, our relatives, our loved ones through that time, especially during the holidays? How do we help them?
I think we ask ahead. We come and sit with them and we listen. And that's the biggest thing, is just to be present with them, but like fully present, really listening, not kind of wishing they'd turn off the tears, or and then inviting them to say what would help you on that day. For example, some people really, so many people I've talked to go to an event like a Mother's Day celebration or a holiday celebration, and nobody mentions their loved one. And they're just sitting there wishing, oh, what do they think? She disappeared? You know, why? And then I talk to a whole bunch of other people who say, I'll only make it through the day if nobody mentions that loved one, because as soon as that name comes out, I'm going to melt. So I think the thing to do is, you know, a little bit ahead of time, sit with the person and give them a chance to sort out what might help them the most.
Yes, yes. That would be so nice. I remember when my grandfather passed, and we sort of have a huge, huge family. My grandmother has 9 children. They're all still living. And we have a huge, huge family. So even now to this day, and my grandfather's been gone 28 years, we sit around and we reminisce and we laugh. And she enjoys that so much, just the stories. She enjoys that. She really enjoys that. And it's just so much fun. And even initially, when he passed on, maybe not the first year, but after that, we began to tell the jokes and the stories, and that just, it was a joy for her.
Well, and then he's still present.
Yeah.
When you tell those stories, he's there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's a wonderful gift. Yeah, one thing I noticed about gatherings like that is sometimes there's just this tension in the air because nobody knows how do we do it. So something I suggest, and that helped for me a lot, was to have some little tiny formal thing that breaks the ice.
Ah.
So the first Christmas dinner that we had as a family after my husband died, we just made a toast to him. And each person said his name, you know, like the grandson would say Papa, and the child would say Dad, and I would say Jack. And it just broke the ice. And then we could talk or not talk about him.
Yeah,
that's nice. And anything like that, I think that a family can do, so maybe lighting a candle that just represents the person. That one, I don't know why, but it's very powerful. Just because then I think the things that bring the wonderful parts about the person into the room for us, just are helpful. And the things that break the ice that say, okay, we're acknowledging that this person was part of us.
Right.
And is still part of us, but we can't see him.
How did you manage with the children? How did you help your children along? I have a niece and nephew whose mother died last year. They're young. They're 6 and 8. And, you know, we do a lot with them, but sometimes if we mention mom or we mention something that happened or whatever, and they get really sad, and you know, I'm just the huggy type, but sometimes we don't know how or what to do with them at that time.
I have a couple of experiences with that. When my first husband died, my kids were 8 and 11. Mm-hmm. When my second husband died, a grandson was living with us, and he was a young teen.
Wow.
So in each case, the first time, I wasn't very smart about it. I really didn't know that I couldn't help them unless I was
strong yourself,
paying attention to what I needed. Yeah, so I would try to come up with stuff that we were supposed to do to honor their dad, and it was forced. You know, I did the best I can say. The things that really worked with my two were my oldest. He was 11. He needed to just be able to grieve all the time. For him, if he was enjoying life, it was a betrayal of his father.
Ah.
And so I needed to just let him be as sad as he needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And for my daughter, who was 3 years younger, she couldn't take being sad all the time.
Yeah.
She needed, let me be really sad now, and then let me go out and play and laugh and run around.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, to her brother, that's a betrayal of her dad. So the thing that I think I did right was to really let them grieve in their own way and support them in that. And the other thing that helped with them a whole lot was they did not want therapy. They said they would go so the person could know them, and then I could go and talk about them. But then that helped, because that helped me help them. But the thing that helped the most was I sent them to a camp for a week that was, it was free for children who had lost a parent. And I didn't know it, but until that time, they had felt like they were sort of weird and strange because of this, that everybody at school would know they were different, you know, that no one would dare to be their friend because the death might be contagious. So they went to this event where there were all children who had lost a parent, and there was no therapy. It was all activities around feeling independent.
Mm-hmm,
you know, swim across the lake, climb the rope course, and that turned it around for them. So I don't think everyone can find a camp, but I think everyone can maybe try to find other kids in the same situation, or find activities that help a child build a sense of their own inner strength. Mm-hmm. Could even be karate, you know, whatever.
True. That's good. Now, one of our family members, her husband made his transition. Oh, my cousin's mother made her transition. And, you know, I always tell people it's, you know, everybody's okay until they are alone. When everybody's gone home and all the cards stop and the phone calls start and they're at home by themselves, we need to really consider that, right? And so what do we need to do as their support, as their family, as their friends, after everything is over and all the dust is cleared and those people are sitting at home by themselves thinking about their loved ones?
Those people need support for a long time.
Yes.
I mean, our culture really tells us to get over it, mm-hmm. right?
And keep going.
Yeah.
Get over it and keep going.
You need that sense of people being around you and coming forward. And it is very hard to ask.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think just making that phone call, showing up with some food, healthy food, because mm-hmm. people who are bereaved are exhausted almost always, and yeah. it's hard to bring yourself to make good meals. And just those little things that say, I'm still here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everyone says, oh, whatever you need, but that's relying on the person who's crushed to
so call them, right? Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
So, you know, show up and mow the lawn.
Mm-hmm. Fix a dinner.
Come over and...
Yeah. Let's go to a movie. Come on, let's go. Yeah.
Yeah, just be there,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I love this that you talk about, you know, the anniversary date, the strategies for anniversary dates. My niece and nephew, when it was their mom's birthday last year, they did not want to go to the cemetery. And
mm-hmm.
her mother, I think, tried to make them go, and they just pitched a fit. They did not want to go. Some people don't want to go to the cemetery. Some people deal with those anniversary dates all different ways. So talk about that for a moment.
Well, I of course wrote about my experience, but I also talked to a whole lot of people about things that they did. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of ways to honor a loved one on that special day. I've talked to a number of families who just couldn't face their own holiday, mm-hmm. so they went and did a service thing, you know, work at a soup kitchen.
Absolutely.
Or any other kind of thing that was for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
I had a nephew who died when he was very young, and so each year on his birthday, I bought a gift that was the right age gift, mm-hmm. and then I gave it to another child.
Oh, that's so nice.
That helped me a lot.
Yeah,
but,
love that.
You know, or you can plant something mm-hmm. so that something grows and flourishes. Now people are sharing photos on social media, and that seems to help a lot because mm-hmm. it reminds others of what you've lost, and then you get an outpouring of support.
Yeah, you do.
And you feel like the person's still in the world because it's not only you remembering then. A lot of times on a gift-giving holiday, you can frame a photo for... let's say that you had a special photo with the person who passed. I owned that. I could frame mm-hmm. it and give it to you, and that would feel the same kind of way. My book, actually, I'm supposed to say that it's called Mourning and Milestones. It has a long list in the back because of all kinds of ideas that people have shared, and the reason for that is when you're really grieving and you're too sad, you don't want to read a whole book. So I just condensed it to a list in the back.
That's good. You are a doctor, MBA in psychology, and
No. My bachelor's is in psychology.
Okay.
My MBA and my PhD are in operations management.
Oh, okay.
So, and that's actually relevant because person with that kind of training takes on anything with, okay, how do I make a plan?
Mm-hmm.
And what does it take to make that plan work? And what's going on here? So
So are you still doing your bereavement group in Rochester?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I facilitate a group that's a writing group for people who've lost anyone. Mm. And very often the participants are people who've lost their mother, but their spouse died some years before, and they find that the loss of their mother just re-triggers the loss of their spouse.
Okay.
Because their spouse should be there, mm-hmm, to help them through the death of their mother.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and so I think it's a complicated thing to lose anyone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My ex-husband's mother lost a child, a grown child. She lost two grown children, but the first one, she never recovered. She never recovered from that. Mm-mm. She never recovered. There was always a sadness about her after that.
Yeah.
So, Kathleen, tell folks where to find the book.
They can find it pretty much anywhere that they shop for books. It's, you know, online with Amazon or Barnes and Noble or, but I think online is probably the easiest place to get it.
So it's Kathleen Fraser, F-R-A-S-E-R, Mourning and Milestones is the name of the book. Phenomenal book. And as us baby boomers, and a lot of my audience is my age, 50 and above, you know, our parents are transitioning. Sometimes our children are transitioning. We really need to know how to deal with our grief on whether it's Mother's Day or any day. But we need to learn how to deal with our grief. Kathleen, thank you so much for joining us and sharing.
Tawanda, thank you so much for talking with me. I really enjoyed it.